2 Samuel chapter 14. Now Joab, son of Zeruiah, realized that the king's heart was towards Absalom. Now Absalom has killed his half-brother Amnon. And David, of course, is very upset. But this is all part of the curse that Nathan said would come to David because he'd taken Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah. So David is now being very manipulated. And of course, he loves his son, Absalom, even though Absalom has killed David's other son, right, Absalom's half-brother. So Joab sent her to Tekoa and fetched from there a wise woman and said to her, "Please act as if you're a mourner, as if someone's died. And please put on mourning clothing and don't anoint yourself with oil, but make yourself look like a woman who's mourned for a long time for the dead. Go into the king and speak like this to him." And Joab put words in her mouth. When the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and said, "Help me, O king." The king said to her, "What's your problem?" She said, "Truly, I'm a widow, and my husband is dead. Your servant had two sons, and they both fought together in the field, and there was nobody to divide them, but the one struck the other and murdered him." Well, of course, David is going to think, yeah, I'm also a father, and I've had children, yes, and one of my children killed the other one. So this woman says, "And now the family's risen up against me, and they say, 'Deliver him who killed his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he murdered.'" So, under the law of Moses, there was this possibility, if you wished, to kill the person who killed your close relative. But, of course, someone had to break the cycle, or else it was going to go on to endless murder and bloodshed. And so she brings her problem to the king. She said, "You know, other people want now to kill my son. My rest of my wider family want to kill the one son I have got left, just because he killed the other one." And she says, "Thus they're going to quench my one burning coal which is left, and they would leave to my husband no name on the face of the earth." So there's principles here in conflict. The king said to the woman, "Go home, and I'll give a commandment about you." The woman of Tekoa said to the king, "My lord, O king, may the sin be on me and on my father's house, and may the king and his throne be guiltless." The king said, "Whoever says anything to you, bring him to me, and he will not touch you any more." Then she said, "Please let the king remember Yahweh your God, so that the avenger of blood does not destroy any more, lest they destroy my son." He said, "As Yahweh lives, not one hair of your son will fall to the earth." Then the woman said, "Please let your servant speak another word to my lord the king. Why then have you devised such a thing against the people of God? For in speaking this word, the king is in fact one who is guilty, in that the king doesn't bring home again his banished one. For we must die, and we're as water spilt on the ground, which can't be gathered up again. Neither does God take away life, but he always devises means that he who is banished should not always be outcast from him." So she's saying, look, you should have Absalom back. That's what she's saying. "I know he committed murder, but you should have him back, just as you're allowing mercy to be shown on my son who was a murderer." So she's trying to obviously get at him, and this story is all made up. Joab's put the idea in her mind. And you see there that God always tries to find a way to bring back the banished. Now, there are some churches who practice what they call disfellowship, and they chuck you out of their church, and you're out for life, and you become banished from them. And this is what happened to me. It's happened to all sorts of people. And when you're chucked out like that, it's very hard for the person. And it is absolutely evil to do that. People who do that are very, very wrong, and you must never, ever, ever have a part in doing that sort of thing, because it says here that God always devises means so that he who is banished should not always be an outcast. So you must always be trying to win people back and get people back and not putting up hard walls against them. So she says, "Seeing that I have come to speak this word to my lord the king, it's because the people have made me afraid. And your servant said, 'I will now speak to the king. It may be the king will perform the request of his servant.' For the king will hear to deliver his servant out of the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then the king said to her, "Please don't hide anything from me that I ask you. Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?" And the woman replied, "As truly as you live, my lord the king, your servant Joab, he urged me, and he did put all these words in the mouth of your servant. And my lord is wise, like an angel of God, with wisdom and knowing all things that are done in the land." The king said to Joab, "Behold, now I have done this thing. Go, therefore, bring the young man Absalom back." Joab fell to the ground on his face with respect and blessed the king. Joab said, "Today your servant knows that I have found grace in your sight and that the king has performed the request of his servant." So Joab went to Geshur and brought Absalom back to Jerusalem. The king said, "Let him return to his own house, but let him not see my face." So Absalom returned to his own house and didn't see the king's face. Now in all Israel, there was no one praised as much as Absalom was for his beauty. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. When he cut the hair of his head at the end of every year, it weighed 200 shekels. To Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of a beautiful appearance. Absalom lived for 2 full years in Jerusalem and didn't see the king's face. Then Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he wouldn't come to him. He sent for him again, and he wouldn't come. So he said to his servants, "Behold, Joab's field is near mine, and he's got barley in it. Go and set it on fire." And they did. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom's house and said to him, "Why did your servant set my field on fire?" Absalom replied to Joab, "Because I sent you, saying, 'Come here, that I may send you to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would have been better for me to be there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there's any sin in me, let him kill me.'" Well, of course there was sin in Absalom. I mean, he'd arranged for the murder of his own brother Amnon. All these people, as the time goes by, and I think David was the same with his sin with Bathsheba in the long run, they end up feeling, "Well, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong." And we've got to always remember that although we are forgiven of sin, we must always remember that we have been forgiven and not become proud. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he'd called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself before the king, and David kissed Absalom.